B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
Sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Adam Jones, Ted Johnson. We're going to get to David Ortiz.
I love it. Don't ever stop talking, David.
What a fraud. No, he should have stopped talking yesterday. What a giant fraud. We'll get to David Ortiz coming up in just a little bit.
That's how it happens, Adam. You see it all the time with former players, man.
Yeah. No, the Red Sox said, hey, we're taking a beating here. Let's roll David Ortiz up there. And we'll have David Ortiz, you know, try to improve our PR. And maybe he did. I have no idea if he did or didn't. But my God, did he contradict himself. So we'll get to him in a moment. Just real quick, Jim put this on my screen. Bruce Feldman covers college football, said that according to a source, Alabama staffer Joe Houston will become
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
1, 2, 3. Hour number two, Zulak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson. We're going to get to David Ortiz.
I love it. Don't ever stop talking, David.
What a fraud. No, he should have stopped talking yesterday. What a giant fraud. We'll get to David Ortiz coming up in just a little bit.
That's how it happens, Adam. You see it all the time with former players, man.
Yeah. No, the Red Sox said, hey, we're taking a beating here. Let's roll David Ortiz up there. And we'll have David Ortiz, you know, try to improve our PR. And maybe he did. I have no idea if he did or didn't. But my God, did he contradict himself. So we'll get to him in a moment. Just real quick. Jim put this on my screen. Bruce Feldman covers college football, said that according to a source, Alabama staffer Joe Houston will become an assistant special teams coordinator with the Patriots. He's a former USC kicker and is a fast riser in the coaching world. So I was just going to mock that. I was going to say, oh, look at the big move the Patriots have made. Hee hee ha ha. I was going to mock that. That was my only plan with that. I didn't realize this giant Arcan snickering over there, because that's usually what I do. Just he poop
no,
all
I
over
thought
stuff.
It was very uncharacteristic, actually. You mocking a minor Patriots move? I can't picture that.
Yeah, it was like yesterday. I planned on mocking the idea that, like, ooh, Nate Ebner might go elsewhere. It's like, oh no, what are they going to do without Nate Ebner?
Their third best special teams player.
So anyway, so Joe Houston is being brought in, reportedly, to be a special teams assistant, and he was a former kicker. And again, I was just going to mock that, but then Jim was telling us about his background. What is this again, Jim? He worked last year
at
Alabama.
At El Camino Community College.
Oh, good. Well, he started there. That's good to know.
That's a really good community college.
Is it?
Program.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, if you're not.
Well, I've changed my whole outlook on him now.
They have a football team?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know community colleges had football.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. If you don't have the grades to get into the legit schools, you go to these smaller.
I think Aaron Rodgers might have started at a community college, actually.
I thought he started at JUCO. Isn't JUCO different?
Could be JUCO.
Isn't that something?
Same thing.
It's the same thing.
Oh, well, yeah, then I'm an idiot then.
Yep, same thing.
Okay.
Ish.
Continue, Jim. Sorry.
So sorry. So he started at some community college.
He went to Toledo. He ended up at Iowa State, rather.
Okay.
And he ended up rising to special teams coordinator. And then he got demoted to quality control coach.
Wait, I don't like that.
Quality control coach.
Off the field. So he did a lot of rising. He probably followed Matt Campbell from Toledo to Iowa State, I would guess. He goes to Iowa State, and he rises all the way to special teams coordinator. Good. And then he was demoted to an off-field position. Why was that?
And then he never took that spot. He ended up going to Alabama instead.
Okay. Oh, he never accepted the spot and he went to Alabama.
He got demoted and went to Alabama.
So what went wrong at Iowa State where he got demoted?
Apparently they had all sorts of kicking issues in 2018.
Huh. That's interesting because what do they call him?
The kicking whisperer.
Huh. Well, that's strange. Maybe you should talk a little louder to the kickers then. So he's the kicking whisperer. Maybe stop whispering so much. Maybe speak at a more audible level so the kickers understand what you're directing them to do. But so the kicking whisperer, their kickers were bad at Iowa State. I decided to look this up. The kickers at Alabama last year, Joseph Boulevas and Will Reichard, combined for 12 out of 18 on field goals.
Oof.
That doesn't sound hot. Oof. First of all, it's not a lot of attempts, which leads me to believe they didn't trust their kicking game. And second of all, 12 for 18, not so good. Boulevas was 8 out of 11. And then Reichard only 4 out of 7, if you were keeping track at home.
Just to be clear, though, Jim, what was his official title at Alabama last year?
Quality control coach.
Okay. Okay.
On field, I guess.
So how?
Oh, off the field in 2018, on the field in 2019
what,
at Alabama.
On what planet would anyone describe this gentleman as a fast riser? That doesn't sound like he's rising.
He went from El Camino to Alabama in a few years.
Okay. He also
into
got
the
a,
NFL.
He got a position. Well, yeah, no. Well, now the Patriots have made him a fast riser for some reason. Back to the NFL. But like what? He went to special teams coordinator to off the field?
Do you know what quality control coaches do? They're the ones that hold the cards up in the scout team for the offense.
That doesn't
and defense.
Sound like he's rising. I mean, I'm sorry. That doesn't sound like rising.
They
to
do
me.
Little coaching. They don't really ever address the team or the positions. They just kind of do all the grunt work and then hold the cards for scouts.
They do all the charting and stuff, too.
Charting.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what they do.
He does charting. Okay. Well, there you go. So this is the gentleman the Patriots have hired. And what does that tell? Why are they hiring an ex-kicker? What does that mean? Is there a new kicker coming in? Is that the end for Gostkowski? Like, what does that mean?
No,
Why are they bringing? No, Adam.
No. Steven's not going anywhere.
No?
Oh, no.
Is he one of Bill's faves?
Oh, if you don't know that by now, it seems very obvious to me.
Why are they bringing in some new kicker?
Kicking coach. He's not a kicker.
What are they bringing him in for?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they had one of those?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, usually the special teams, you know, were you know, Joe Judge and Cam Acord or like, so they weren't, I don't think they were kickers.
All right, real quick, so forgive me if you guys already said it. What was his official title here? Special teams?
Assistant, I believe.
Okay. All right.
Assistant special teams coordinator.
Okay.
That's what he is.
Assistant to the special teams coordinator, I believe is what it is.
Regional manager.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. So he's a former kicker.
He kicked at USC.
You would think that's what he would specifically be doing while he is here.
And he is not just any kicker. He is the kicking whisperer.
Gostkowski does not need, I don't think, at this point in his career, a kicking coach.
I wouldn't think.
So I see what you're saying, that maybe that they are going to maybe move on from Steve. I don't know. Is he a free agent? Does he have a...
I believe Gostkowski has one more year.
Yeah, they can save $3.5 million if they cut him.
And if you have the kicking whisperer on hand, why are you paying an extra $3.5 million? Save that $3.5 million.
Hey, can we just be happy that this is an actual football coach and not some lacrosse player
That's
from
true.
Johns Hopkins or something?
It's a kicker. It might as well be a lacrosse player from Johns Hopkins. It might as well be one of Bill's kids. Yeah, actually, that's a good point. At least it's not Bill's kid. At least it's not
he's out of kids.
The kid of any of Bill's buddies. Is Bill friends with Joe Houston's dad? Do we need to dig further into this? Did he play lacrosse at some point? I saw he only kicked for 2 years at USC. But he only kicked field goals 1 year.
But let's face it, he's coming from where? Alabama. How many coaches have been on the Alabama staff that have come coach here, right? I mean, over the years.
Joe Judge was one of them. I know that.
I feel like there's been a handful of them that have done that.
Well, the documentary, too, Saban and Belichick, they said that they handle each other's taking coaches from each other with respect.
Yep.
So obviously Saban was okay letting this guy go.
Yeah, of course he was. The guy's sinking like a stone in the coaching industry. It's not fast rising. They wouldn't even let him on the field. 617-779-0985. So that's more, I was more fired up. I was more excited about that and fired up about that than I expected.
There's a lot of holes on the coaching staff. I mean, like, who's, you know, that's why I am fascinated by I would love to hear more about really what happened with Josh McDaniels. And did Bill really kind of block him from going to the Giants, or kind of, you know, slow play it so that he couldn't maybe get a head coaching job out there by putting restrictions on him immediately after the season so he couldn't go do these interviews and then missed out on getting his head coaching jobs? That I'd love to know the answer to. It's been reported that he is not happy, Josh McDaniels, that Bill did that. And so I thought if Josh McDaniels would have gone on to be a head coach somewhere – my feeling is that Bill, if he lost Josh, I would think this coaching staff would be in shambles because Bill was basically the defensive coordinator.
Well, they got the kicking whisperer now, so I think they're in pretty good shape.
But you just look at there's just a ton of quality coaches that are going out the door that they're not really being backfilled with experience. I mean, no offense to Gerard Mayo, great player, and I don't know if he's going to be a great, good head coach or not, but he lacks experience in the coaching world. And if he's going to be the next defensive coordinator, I mean, I just think that's asking a lot of the kid.
Hey,
this early in his career.
I've said this a lot. The coaching staff now, and add the kicking whisperer to this, the coaching staff nowadays is Bill's kids, kids of Bill's buddies, and ex-lacrosse players.
And Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, and Gerard Mayo. Let's give it to Gerard Mayo as well. 617-779-0985. Meanwhile, we got to get to Gerard Mayo. David Ortiz, rather. David Ortiz weighing in yesterday. Out there defending a lot of things in baseball. Red Sox needed a PR boost. Let's roll David Ortiz out there. Let's get ourselves a PR boost. David Ortiz wanted to weigh in on, the man behind blowing this story wide open, Mike Fiers, who he had some not so nice words for.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season? When it was going on, why you didn't say I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now, so you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem. You know why nobody say anything while it was going on? People is not stupid, you know.
Okay, so how do we feel about David Ortiz, you know, going after Mike Fiers, calling him a snitch?
I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. I think it's just kind of a lazy kind of way. It's an argument that a lot of people will make. And if you come from a certain background, culture, era, you know, it's like you don't do that. So there may be a lot of baseball players that agree with David as far as, hey, you don't, what happens behind closed doors, just stay in the locker room. But there's so many people that are grateful that this came out, too, that exposed the Astros and are hopefully going to maybe clean up the game and make it a better game overall. To me, that's what the end result in this thing should be. I think you should be kind of looking at Mike Fiers as, you know, thank God somebody said something. When was this ever going to end? Because who wants to watch? I mean, that's my hometown team. And I feel shame about it because I think that World Series trophy is tainted.
Yeah, probably is a little bit. I think David Ortiz is just sort of proving he's anti-snitch no matter what. Like, this is a guy who got shot in the Dominican Republic. Right. You didn't even tell on that guy.
No, that's a good point. Right. You know? That's a good point.
And it wasn't even anti-snitch. So much about the snitching. It was more about, you know, why didn't you say something while it was going on? Which is a valid point, I think. Maybe not the best one for David Ortiz to be making based on, you know, the Mitchell report and everything else. But, well, you know, he's being a little consistent there, I think.
Yeah. This is my whole thing. And I don't think it's consistent. Well, it is consistent. It's just consistently in the wrong for David Ortiz. Like, it's David Ortiz again taking the side of a cheater. Like, David Ortiz, did you ever get to the bottom of showing up in the New York Times report? You ever get to the bottom of that? You still researching that? You ever figure out what happened there? Why were you on that report? Any words? You ever get an answer for us there? So, David Ortiz, siding with the cheaters. Hey, let's side with the Houston Astros. Let's not side with people who are shining a light on the problems in baseball. Let's side with the Houston Astros, the cheaters. And we know you're siding with the Red Sox.
He ripped the Astros, too, though.
That's a big, fat cheating organization. Right. So hang on. There's also this. I don't know that David Ortiz wasn't benefiting from this cheating organization while he was here. Apple Watch happened a year after he left, but I don't know. Was John Farrell up to anything? Mm-hmm. Were the Red Sox not up to anything while you were here? So, look, I would be careful of that if I were him. I do think it's consistent, but why would you side with the cheaters over Mike Fiers on that? And I do agree. He did come after the Astros a little bit. But why would you shine a light on the guy who exposed the whole thing? Why?
I think it was, well, in my opinion anyway, I think it was different from like what Jess Mendoza said, who was just like, I can't believe you said something. This is a brotherhood. You're not supposed to tell on everybody. And his was more of a, listen, it's okay that he talked, but if you're going to talk, you should do it while it's going on instead of getting your ring and getting your contract and then going somewhere else and saying, hey, you can't do this anymore. And he's right about that. I mean, that's Mike Fiers being treated like a hero. And at least he stepped up and said something. But let's not act like he was really brave and bold here or whatever, because he did get paid and he did win a championship.
Yeah, but he also is getting death threats. It's being reported that Mike Fiers is getting death threats. So, I mean, it's not like he's still taking on a lot of risk by coming out and saying something. You know what I mean? Hmm. It's not like it's, you know, and I think it'd be very, very difficult to out. You're not going to out your own team while you're in the middle of a season. I mean, that guys would really, you know, I mean, that would not be a good look.
And I mean, you know, David Ortiz is just going to speak his mind. You know, regardless of the consequences, David Ortiz is just going to speak his mind. David Ortiz totally would have done that, right? David Ortiz totally would have. He can't get to the bottom of why he was on the New York Times report, but David Ortiz totally would have spoke his mind. And I'll tell you what, there's no favorable relationships with David Ortiz. None whatsoever. Not a favorable relationship. Maybe except for that one with the commissioner. Let's get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The commissioner have been getting so much heat about this, like it was him who made that mistake. And to be honest with you, I don't agree with him getting all the heat. And it's because reality is not one player has come through and be like, hey, it was me who started this up. All the commissioner can do is just have a team investigating what's going on and do what we all know that he know how to do. The commissioner, Manfred, has been legit since day one. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's fair for everyone pitching him, question and blame him on things.
Aw.
Boy.
Poor Robbie Manfred. David Ortiz stepping up for him over there.
He's got the back of the commissioner. He's the first guy I've really seen go to bat for Manfred like that.
Have not seen many of the current players going to bat for the commissioner.
None, hardly.
Nope.
It's like open season on the commissioner of Major League Baseball.
Sure.
From the players.
Not for David Ortiz. And why is that? 617-779-0985. I get what the Red Sox were trying to do yesterday. Let's get David Ortiz up there. Let's improve our PR. We stink at this, meaning John Henry, Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy, Chaim Bloom. We're all horrible at this. Yeah. Let's get people like David. People actually like David Ortiz. Let's get David Ortiz up there.
Should have put him up there first.
Right. They should have David Ortiz announce their trades. They should have David Ortiz just do everything because people like him. But I don't know. I feel like David Ortiz was all over the map. And I guess in some ways consistent, but in others, I think he exposed himself a little bit. We'll get to his knowledge of Alex Verdugo. Yikes. Not very good knowledge there. And by the way, David Ortiz, for all the positive PR things you're doing for the Red Sox, broing out with Alex Verdugo is maybe one where you'd want to draw the line. For me, maybe that's one where you want to draw the line. 617-779-0985. Do we have more of David Ortiz defending? Really, like, full-throated defending the commissioner?
We all know that he got the power to suspend people or make decisions or this and that, blah, blah, blah. But it's only into a certain point. After that, he had no control of, you know, whatever happened in the investigation. I saw an interview that he did the other day, and I feel bad for him because people asking questions like he was the one who started this up. Like, I see players trying to tell him what he need to do. Hey, he don't tell you how to hit or how to pitch. So let him do his job, you know. He gonna do what is best for the game. He's not the type of guy that gonna accept you screwing things up in the game and he just gonna tell you where to go. No. He's good at making decisions, but people need to chillax. People need to let him do his job. Player need to let him do what he think is better for the game and for everything else, you know what I'm saying? And stop putting him on the spot and telling him what to do.
Why? Why would you, David Ortiz? If an owner or a manager or someone in the media told David Ortiz, the player, that, hey, David, don't voice your opinion on anything. Okay, why don't you? You're a player. Why don't you just do your job? Don't speak to authority. Don't talk out to the media or your boss, your direct boss, your manager, your GM, your owner, the commissioner of baseball.
Yeah, good luck.
You're not allowed
David
to do
Ortiz
that.
Good luck telling him.
What
that.
A fraud!
Yeah.
What a fraud! Like, hey guys, you can't say anything. He's the commissioner. He's trying to do his best. What a joke! What a joke! David Ortiz, who as a player cried more about contracts and certain situations with baseball than anyone, and he was entertaining, and you know, in some cases I thought he was wrong, in other cases I thought he was right, but David Ortiz always spoke his mind. Now he's like this meek, mild-mannered little sheep sucking up to the commissioner of baseball. And I figured it's because, well, he's a broadcast partner now. You know, as a player, you know, you're one of the star players in the league, but now when you are on Fox, right, you're doing this post-game show, the league watches that very closely, the commissioner watches that very closely, and he's a powerful guy. So you want to keep your job, the role that you like, you want to keep that job. It pays well, it's high profile. That's what I figured it was. Steve Buckley over at The Athletic connected the dots better than I could have. Buck writes that just as Ortiz is coming to Manfred's defense, it's worth noting that the commissioner came to Ortiz's defense at the close of Big Poppy's career. Appearing at Fenway Park on Sunday, October 3rd, 2016, the day of Ortiz's final regular season game, the commissioner touched on a 2009 article in the New York Times naming the Red Sox slugger as one of more than 100 players who has tested positive for a banned substance in 2003 during confidential testing by MLB and the Players Association. But Manfred distanced Ortiz from those findings. Quote, "We were not certain it was a banned substance." Right. "As opposed to something that was available over the counter and legal. What I do feel is unfair that in these situations where there are leaks, rumors, innuendo, not confirmed positive test results, that's unfair to the players. I think that would be wrong." David Ortiz had a lot of time to clear his name and prove things right if he wanted to. He said he was going to get to the bottom of it. He has yet to get to the bottom of it. It's pretty transparent, isn't it? I think Buck makes a good point. Yep. Ortiz is doing a solid for the guy who did him a solid.
Yep. He owed one to Manfred, so he's got Manfred's back in this. I think that's exactly what it is. It's human nature, and you see this a lot of times when former players go to, oh, they work in TV, so they're an extension of the league that they are covering, and so they become more aligned with the leagues than what they used to be aligned with when they were former players.
Is there anybody in the NFL that we've been talking about the last couple of days who comes to mind there, Ted?
Yeah, what's his name?
Jeff Saturday?
Saturday, Jeff Saturday, yes.
How do you refer to him again?
Turncoat.
A turncoat.
Yes, turncoat. These guys, they can't help it. So they are going to, you know, they'll switch, they'll turncoat, and they will switch their allegiances like that to serve their own purposes. And so you see a little bit of that with David. Let's just be honest. That's what's going on here a little bit. And it's a shame because he, you know, his opinion carries a lot of weight. You hate to see players.
On this topic, it shouldn't. Topic, it should legitimately carry zero weight because all he's doing is carrying water for the – like, you shouldn't listen to him on this at all. You should not listen to the words coming out of David Ortiz's mouth.
People need to chillax.
Yeah, I'm sorry, David. Sorry that I'm not chillaxing enough for you, but what you're saying is a bunch of crap.
You know what? I'm a guy that likes to abide by the rules. I've always been that way. So if you're cheating, then – I don't have a lot of patience for you or sympathy for you. And it's, to me, you want that taken out of the game. And so David's being critical of, you know, of Mike Fiers and the Manfred, or not just Mike Fiers, not Manfred, when he shouldn't be. The game's a better product knowing that it's all on the up and up. And so I have issues with what he's saying.
Is that true, though? Because the steroid era was pretty good. Like, that was a pretty marketable time, and it definitely wasn't on the up and up. And that's after the strike, that saved baseball, you know?
Do you know, I feel differently about that. I don't know why. I feel like what the Astros were doing was way worse.
Than steroids?
Maybe not to some degree.
Well, let me say this.
To some degree, yeah.
It helped baseball for a while, but didn't it ultimately kind of get baseball to the point where we're at now? It was like a good 10-year run. That was awesome,
strike, people didn't think baseball had 10 more years, right? After the strike, people thought that was going to be it. Like, who wants to watch this
now? It got him about 10 years.
Sosa and McGuire saved the whole sport.
So, for a time. But now look at where baseball's at. So, I didn't mean to sidetrack from that, but like that was like a quick save there. But you think steroids are on par or maybe even not as bad as what the Astros are
doing? I don't think it's as bad as what the Astros were doing. I really don't, because if you look at the steroid era, everybody just likes to focus on the hitters. I know for a fact it was a lot of position players too. The pitchers, the shortstop, the right fielder. They were doing it too.
You telling me Roger Clemens was doing steroids? I don't believe.
You know what? I'm not gonna. I can't say it definitively, Christian, but I have a strong feeling that he probably was doing what a lot of these big time hitters were doing back then.
Do we have a little bit? And there's no doubt in my mind on that. Do we have a little bit from Rob Manfred doing the original favor here and then calling in his favor to David Ortiz yesterday? Do we have the original Manfred audio?
We knew, and the "we" in that sentence was the Major League Baseball Players Association, us, that there were legitimate scientific questions about whether or not those were truly positives. Even if Rob Manfred's name was on that list, he might have been one of those 10 or 15 where there was probably, or at least possibly, a very legitimate explanation that did not involve the use of a banned substance.
So give us an explanation. Give us an explanation. Like, David, you've had more than a decade. That was a 2003 test that came out in 2009. You've had more than a decade to give us an explanation. If there's a simple explanation, give us the explanation. That shouldn't be hard. You said you were going to get to the bottom of it. You've had 11 years.
Yeah.
Get to the bottom of it.
People need to chillax.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not much of a chillaxing guy.
Are you kidding me? When Rob Manfred came out and defended David Ortiz in that soundbite back then, he basically, he can do no wrong in David Ortiz's eyes. That was a huge, huge, huge kind of feather in the cap for one Rob Manfred when it comes to how David Ortiz feels about
you. Well, and now, you know, now David Ortiz does whatever he wants. Now, David, whatever Rob Manfred wants, David Ortiz is going to do. Like, get ready for it. Yep. When they propose seven-inning baseball games or double hitters, designated hitters in both leagues.
Great
or whatever,
idea.
They go, oh, hey, I love it. Oh, I love what Rob Manfred's doing. Any criticism, you guys should shut up, which doesn't sound like Ortiz the player. So Buck makes a great point. Why has David Ortiz changed his tune? He owes the commissioner. Let's go to Andy in Vermont. Great state of Vermont. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, I just got a comment about the steroids. You have no idea what David was taking, anything.
Now no, I know. I've been waiting for David to tell us. He said he was going to tell us.
Why does he have to tell you? Why does he have
Because
to
he said he was going to. That's what he said. He said he was going to get to the bottom of it.
Aren't we innocent in this country to proven guilty?
Yeah, no one said throw him in prison, Andy. I didn't say put him behind bars.
But you're basically trying to wreck his reputation.
I'm not trying to wreck anything.
His legacy.
I'm not trying to wreck anything.
You don't even know what was talked to about between him and Rob Manfred. Any conversations. You sit there like you know everything there is to know.
All I know is he showed up on a New York Times report that he tested positive for something.
Oh, New York Times. Yep. Oh, man, we got the New York Times. That's what we're going to use for all our
information. I'm going to use just any report. There was a report that he tested positive. And David Ortiz said he would get to the bottom of it. Andy, why is it, after 11 years, why hasn't he gotten to the bottom of it? Wouldn't you want to clear your name if you were on a list like that, if it was easy to clear your name?
It doesn't matter.
Why hasn't he cleared his name? Because he needs to clear his name, apparently. Because he hasn't stood up to this report. And people like me are taking it as...
What does he have to stand up for? Why does he have to go back 11 years?
Would you? Andy, if there was something that was
2003. We're
Andy,
talking 17 years ago, for crying out loud.
Andy, if there was something false about you, and you could easily disprove it, wouldn't you?
Everybody then, you don't know what the banned substance was. It's still going to come out.
So, Andy, if he can prove it.
Everybody's going to twist it way they want to twist it.
I'm not twisting anything. I'm going off the report.
Oop.
And I'm going off of what David Ortiz had to say.
Man, people are going to get sensitive about to any kind of criticism towards David Ortiz.
Why?
I don't know. That's just, Big Poppy's. He's a guy.
I'll tell you what. David Ortiz, oh my God, the knowledge that he has of Alex Verdugo's career. I think David Ortiz, if he's not going to win you over with his bleeding heart defense of the commissioner, poor Rob Manfred. Oh, his knowledge of Alex Verdugo and Alex Verdugo's postseason career. Ortiz was on the fence about Alex Verdugo until he saw him in the postseason. Let's get to that after the headlines from Arkand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports up.
Alex, do you have a major league player you admire the most or you model your game after?
David Ortiz. I'm telling you, if I see David Ortiz here, I'm giving the biggest hug. I might even tear up, man. Like,
hey kid, what's going on? good.
A lot better now. A lot better now.
Remember, I'm shaking. You are very important to this organization. Anything. We want you around here for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Anything you got, hey, I'm open ears with you, baby. Yeah, I lost you doing that. You're my favorite player.
I appreciate it, man. Nah. What do you think? I'll catch you with you later.
Thank you, baby. All right.
Whatever the Red Sox pay David Ortiz is not enough. My God, the PR that he's given them. And Arcan makes a good point. Like, not only does he work for them, they flew a plane down to the Dominican Republic when he's on, you know.
Saved his life.
Effectively, you know. So I get being indebted to that organization. Yeah. The Red Sox thing I get a hell of a lot more than the Manfred thing. Although I get the Manfred thing too. Manfred came out and said, "Ah, let's not jump to conclusions with this player." And so he owes him. He owes him. But man, the PR that he's doing on their behalf with Alex Verdugo, who, by the way, I thought Alex Verdugo had a bad back. Man, that guy jumped up off the couch faster than I've ever seen to go give David Ortiz a bear hug, huh? Like, I thought he had a bad back. I thought he's not cleared for any baseball activities. That guy, like, sprung up off the couch. So, you know, Ortiz is out here bro-hugging Alex Verdugo. Like, hey, everything's good. See, he's not a creepy guy. See, that? Don't worry about him. What a stud they're getting in this trade, right? And Ortiz would go on to say a little bit more about Alex Verdugo here. And boy, he's really been following Alex Verdugo's career closely. I think there's any takeaway. Man, he's watched a lot of Alex Verdugo, especially in October. But just quickly, to the last caller, when Ortiz's name was leaked at different times throughout 2009 and the media pitchforks were out, he claimed he was blindsided to learn he had failed a drug test, but promised that he would get to the bottom of it and tell the whole story when it was right. Ortiz has not given any update. Like, if Ortiz just stayed silent in the whole thing, I would understand more where the caller's coming from. Like, hey, you don't know what happened. It's just some random report. Like Rob Manfred said, well, maybe the details there were sketchy, and maybe he was one of the 10 or 15 names that shouldn't have been on that list, which, right, there was 15 guys who weren't supposed to be on that list when the whole league was cheating. But whatever, fine. I would understand it a little bit more. I have a hard time taking David Ortiz seriously when he says, oh, I'm blindsided by this report from 6 years ago that I tested positive. I'm blindsided that 6 years ago I tested positive. I'm blindsided you guys found out about it is what he meant to say. And I'm going to get to the bottom of it. And now 11 years later, he hasn't gotten to the bottom of it. Like, sorry, that's a lot of time to clear your name. If it's easy to clear your name, which he seems to think it's easy to clear his name. So, yeah, I'm going to side with the New York Times on this one. If you don't want to believe the newspaper, go ahead. I'm going to believe the report on this one more than the player who said I'm going to get to the bottom of it and then can't get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, it's just he's got such a likability factor and all the goodwill he's earned. It's going to pay dividends when things like that are popping up. And so if there's any question marks about things he's done, people are going to overlook it. And I understand because of how likable he is and what he's done for this franchise. So, you know, and that's players are smart to do that. You know, I mean, they're really, really smart. If they can garner goodwill, you never know when they might need to pull that out of their back pocket and use it because of something they might do where they're going to, you know, their actions might, you know, call for that kind of goodwill to come into play.
So, again, the goodwill stretches now to Alex Verdugo, who David Ortiz is bear hugging and also talking up. Again, this injured player who can't even get on a baseball field.
Yeah, by the way, the injury wasn't revealed until after the trade, right?
Well, I mean, he missed a lot of time at the end of last season. Okay. I don't think we knew it was a stress fracture. I don't think we knew the extent of it.
Right.
I think it's come out that it's been worse. The Red Sox supposedly knew, but we on the outside I don't think knew that it was a stress fracture.
Stress fracture.
Yep.
It's like not great. Pretty serious.
Not great.
That's pretty serious.
Verdugo himself says he's going to miss a couple of weeks beyond opening day. And Tom Werner even was like, yeah, I don't think we're going to have him for opening day, guys. So anyway, here's David Ortiz going to bat for Alex Verdugo. And when Verdugo really caught Ortiz's eye is in October, when David's really paying attention, all those big October at-bats he had for the Dodgers.
To be honest with you, from the playoff last year, he was one of the players that caught my attention at the most. Because everybody's focused on Bellinger, everybody's focused on the second baseman, everybody's focused on
the third baseman. Yeah, I was locked in on the second baseman, yep.
Kershaw, everybody's focused.
Uh-huh.
He was the one peacemaker, take pressure away from the big guy. And let me tell you what, he was getting on base a lot.
So much.
And he was distracting the pitchers because of his speed also. So when you have a guy like that on base, as a pitcher, you know, you kind of freaking out because you don't know what he's going to do next.
No clue.
So for me as a hitter, it's good because now you're going to miss location more than what you normally do when that guy's not on base. Mm-hmm. You agree with me on that?
No.
So I see this kid just banging everywhere, and I'm like, man, where this kid came from? You know what I'm saying? So I'm so glad that we got him.
Wow, that's a pretty detailed scouting report.
Wow. Yeah, boy. No, David Ortiz really knows the Dodgers well, doesn't he? He's like, well, they're focusing on Bellinger, you know, the second baseman, the third baseman, that big bat in the middle. Boy, David Ortiz watches those playoff games really closely. He must, because Alex Verdugo caught his eye. Let me just scroll through his baseball reference page. Hang on. Here's standard batting.
What's the month of October, right?
Let's go to player value, standard fielding, appearances, transactions. Maybe I got to go a little farther. Oh, here we go. Salary. I don't see. It's interesting. I don't see any postseason stats.
No
for
numbers.
Alex Verdugo anywhere.
No numbers.
Huh? How about that? It's almost like he's never played in the playoffs before. That's weird.
Oh, poor David.
So I don't know. And how is he distracting all these pitchers? Was when he was in the dugout? Like sitting there in street clothes in the dugout? Is that where he was distracting all the pitchers? It can't be because he tears it up on the base paths. Alex Verdugo, in his career, which has spanned parts of three big league seasons, has 4 stolen bases.
And he was caught stealing once.
Yeah, sorry. Well, he's attempted 5 times. Let's give him that. 5 steal attempts.
Only got thrown out 20% of the time.
Pretty good percentage there, 80%. So he's really distracting these guys on the base pass, where he is just hell on wheels out there. And the postseason numbers, he was on base like the whole postseason. I don't know how you missed that. I don't know how you didn't notice that about him. So David Ortiz watches the Dodgers very closely, and clearly he knows a lot about this Alex Verdugo guy.
You agree with me on that?
No, I don't. I'm pretty sure when you hugged him the other day, you didn't even know who he was. I am convinced of that now more than ever. So, man, David Ortiz,
had me convinced, though.
He's towing the. I was
going into layers.
I was like,
details.
Man, I thought he got shut down last August. What an idiot I am. I didn't realize he came back for the playoffs.
I was like, wait. Maybe he was out there. Yeah. Wait a minute. Maybe I did see him.
Sounds like David Ortiz likes baseball about as much as I like baseball. The way he watches games sounds about the way I watch games, where I lock in on Jackie Bradley Jr. at bats because I just know if Bradley does anything, my RIP my timeline. And then I just kind of ignore the rest of the game, and I kind of just scroll around and, you know, watch out of the corner of my eye. That's how David Ortiz watches baseball, apparently. He knows Bellinger. That's good. He knows the National League MVP.
The second baseman.
He knows
Kershaw.
There's a second baseman and a third baseman. He said Kershaw too. You're right. Then there's some big bat they have in the middle of their lineup, which maybe also was Bellinger. And then he loved what he saw out of Verdugo last year.
It's not about the substance.
Tough day for Ortiz yesterday.
It's more about just the charming delivery in which David delivers
there
his
wasn't much else there.
Messages.
Who are you going to believe? David Ortiz or your lion eyes?
I see this kid just banging everywhere.
Yeah,
I'm like, man, where this kid came from? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just, you know, again, maybe stop bro hugging him.
Did he film it on Snapchat after he was done?
Maybe Verdugo, not the guy you want to go out there and really have
like
on
that?
Camera that we're hugging and broing out with. So there you go, David Ortiz and his knowledge a little lacking on what's going on. I at least get defending the Red Sox. You played for the team. You're employed currently by the team. They flew a plane down to the DR to help save your life.
I
get being indebted to the Red Sox. You're going maybe a little too far with making things up that didn't really happen. The Manfred stuff, it's obvious. I guess I understand. But, man, he's gone the extra mile in both of these cases.
Don't you think he's in the minority with that, you guys? I feel like most players, and even maybe, okay, current players maybe versus former players, there's usually sometimes different varying opinions. But I feel like most people, players, are glad that Mike Fiers said something. They're happy that he said something.
I think they're happy that somebody said something, but I also think they feel like I do think they would agree with what Ortiz said, where you should have said something while it was happening.
Okay.
So I think they're happy it got said, so they didn't have to say it.
Right. They just wish it wasn't a player.
Well, they just wish it wasn't a player on the Astros in the middle of a pennant race who ignored saying it and then dimed him out after the fact.
I think pitchers are happy and hitters aren't.
Well,
that may
be a better breakdown, too.
That's it.
617-779-0985. David Ortiz, he'll say whatever's on his mind. It's just it seems like, you know, some of his relationships are kind of clouding that. Very much unlike David Ortiz, the player, who really would speak to authority. That's not David Ortiz anymore. 617-779-0985. Let's get to all your phone calls. And, Kemba Walker's hurt. Good. What was he doing in the All-Star game again? Let's get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah. A four-time All-Star. He handles the rock like Gibraltar. From the Boston Celtics. Give it up for Kemba Walker.
Yeah. And you say Shy City. Shy City. Shy City.
I'm coming home again.
We're coming up on noontime, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, Christian Arcan, in for Zolak and Bertrand. Taking your phone calls, 617-779-0985. So why are we going back to the All-Star game with Kemba Walker, right? Thought Kemba Walker was good. Thought Kemba Walker was healthy. Played a bunch of minutes in a double overtime game right before the All-Star break. You have the number in front of you, Arcan. Was it like 49, 46 minutes, whatever it was against
the
Clippers?
He played the full 15 and 46 against the Clippers, that's right. And he played the full 15 of the fourth quarter against in the All-Star
game. He played
29 total minutes, I think, in the All-Star game.
Fourth quarter in the All-Star game in a game where he had a minutes limit.
Yep.
And he went over said minutes limit. Mm-hmm. Played in the All-Star game if you're not fully healthy. Why you have a minutes limit for in the All-Star game? If you're not healthy, take the All-Star game off, right? Now it comes out that Kemba Walker was ruled out for tomorrow's game, Friday, in Minnesota. Excuse me, tonight's game in Minnesota. And he's not going to be playing due to a lingering knee injury. He said, quote, "I was actually supposed to be on a minutes restriction, but the game got too close," meaning the stupid All-Star game. And by the way, Kemba, you sucked at the end of the All-Star game. Like, LeBron let you run right by him. You ran directly out of bounds. You're missing shots. I wanted to be out there. I wanted to compete. I knew down the stretch it would get serious like that, and I wanted to be a part of it. So it doesn't sound like there was anything significant, like he wrenched his knee or he's going to miss an extended period of time. Again, it's lingering knee soreness, and the Timberwolves are bad. But why'd you play in that game? And you know who it sounds like? You know who it sounds like.
Kyrie.
It sounds like Kyrie. Like
it's exactly what I was thinking.
We've been told a million times that Kemba's not Kyrie. And by the way, he's not. A, he's not as good. But B, you know, he's a better teammate. We've been told a million times he's not Kyrie. He's not, but this is a Kyrie move. Can we all agree that this is a Kyrie move that you needed to play in the All-Star game? Yep. Screw my teammates. Screw my team. Yeah. Screw actual games that matter. And again, they should beat the Timberwolves with or without Kemba. But screw them. I want to play in the All-Star game. I want to be in this game. That's a Kyrie move.
I don't know who's talking right now. That wasn't me.
I hear voices
in
my ears.
But it's a Kyrie move.
It's a complete, exactly the same thing, in my opinion. And it's funny to me, you remember last year Brad Stevens defending Kyrie playing in that All-Star game?
Yeah, it was
pathetic.
It was a joke. It was the last time I interviewed him before the other day. And it was the Magic Whirlpool. That's where the Magic Whirlpool came from.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, oh, yeah, we don't need him. We have great Whirlpools back in Boston. Stay back. We're not going to bring him to
the best Whirlpools.
We're not going to bring him to Philadelphia. We have the best Whirlpools on the planet. Don't leave Boston.
And he was defending it. He was actually kind of laying it out. It's actually a pretty good time for him to be getting a workout in, meaning the All-Star game. You know, in as far as kind of the timing of what he was dealing with, the injury, and you're just sitting here going, are you serious right now? And that's the basketball culture that drives me nuts. Is if you ever listen to a basketball coach, other than maybe Popovich, do they ever say anything that's controversial or critical of their players? Never. They are always, always defending their players. And you know what? And this All-Star game is so – you know, the Pro Bowl – You get players that are like third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh alternates now.
Yep.
Players don't want to play in it. Only first time, second time guys that really want to play in the Pro Bowl. It's always full participation in the NBA All-Star game. This is where they want to be highlighted in there, and they don't care about the team and their injuries, you know, and maybe how this will affect their playing time after the All-Star game if they're going out there and, you know, maybe playing when they're less than healthy. And it's frustrating to me because they put the All-Star game and the stage and being on that particular kind of being in that event above
Yeah.
I think the team. And it frustrates me. And the coaches sign off on it.
He's not Kyrie, but it's a Kyrie move. That's a Kyrie move, Kemba, is what that is.
We have a pool set up in our practice facility.
All right.
That's maybe you should get Kemba in that thing. Get Kemba in there because the lingering knee soreness needs a little bit of work.
I'm guessing every NBA franchise has a pool at their facility.
You think?
I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Yeah, but
say
the Celtics
that.
Have a magic one.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay? That's the lengths they were going to bend over backwards to defend Kyrie last year. When we all knew what a piece of crap he was, the Celtics were bending over backwards like, no. We didn't want him in Philadelphia with our team for games that matter. We wanted him to stay back in Boston and then play in the All-Star game.
Yeah. Get his runs in. Get his warm-up in the All-Star game.
And Kemba's doing it the other way around, right? Kyrie wouldn't play in the game before the All-Star break. At least Kemba played in a double overtime win over the Clippers.
Okay, but that's a big difference, though, right? I mean, he played in the games leading up. Like, Kyrie took those games off and said, no, forget it, but I am healthy enough to play in the game. Kemba Walker played 46 minutes in the last game before the All-Star break.
And then he was on a minutes limit, and then he said, screw it, I'm going to go over it. And he got his lingering knee soreness exacerbated and even worse, and now he can't play in the game after. How is that different?
That's unfortunate that happened, but he wasn't taking time off beforehand and then said, but I'm going to play in the game.
Well, Kemba was taking time off beforehand.
He
played in the immediate game before the All-Star break, but he's been taking time off.
Weeks ago. He played in four or five straight games leading up to it.
He's missed more time this year than he's missed going back like 4 or 5 years already. So, look, I don't think it's that different. It's a Kyrie move. You're favoring the All-Star game over actual games that matter.
But he played in the games that matter.
No, he's not playing tonight.
Aggravated it, but he wasn't hurt going into the break. See what I'm saying? He wasn't hurt going into the break.
No, I think he was. Why was he on a minutes limit going into the All-Star game?
He was on a minutes limit because he was. But 46 minutes in the game before then.
If you're fully healthy, why do they put you on minutes limits?
Beats me.
Did they adhere to it? No, they don't. They don't put you on. No, they didn't.
No.
Okay. Why was he on a minutes
limit? 46 minutes in the game before.
Why was he on a minutes limit if he's healthy? He wasn't healthy. So, if you really care about your team, don't worry. Hey, guys, you know what? I love the All-Star game. I love everything that matters. I got picked by the fans to go to the All-Star game, but you know what? I'm not gonna hurt myself for my teammates. That's a Kyrie move, favoring the All-Star game over games. That's all.
People are saying Nick Nurse did it on purpose.
I saw people are saying it, or Greeny's saying
Greeny. People named Greeny are saying.
Okay, I saw Green. I saw Greeny's story.
Here's the thing.
Headline: there's a strong possibility Nick Nurse tried to sabotage the Celtics, and I will not stand for it. Wasn't Kyle Lowry out there? And maybe Nurse wasn't his coach. Wasn't Kyle Lowry out there taking charges at the end of the game? I forget which team Nick Nurse coached, but I know one of his guys, Kyle Lowry, is out there taking charges in the nuts at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So, please.
Here's the thing, Christian, I lean more towards Adam on this, it's a lingering knee issue. So obviously it's kind of been an issue with him all year. So you know going into the All-Star game that it's been an issue and that you should act accordingly. And he played 29 minutes in that All-Star game, and now he's got to miss the first game back after the All-Star game. It's kind of Kyrie-esque. Not maybe exactly the same, but kind of in line with
what. I think Kyrie was way worse. Skipping the games before and then playing in the All-Star game, I think, is worse than this.
And
he aggravated the injury. He didn't plan on it.
He missed a Philly game. No, but he's already hurt going into it. That's why he was on a minutes restriction. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But anyway, if you're telling me what was a bigger game, Philly or Minnesota, it was obviously Philly. And the Celtics probably know. Look, it's just the Timberwolves. We don't need you to beat the Timberwolves. They're going to beat them. But I still don't like the decision-making there by Kemba. Because you know who would make that move? Kyrie. He did it. 617-779-0985. Arcan's got all the latest here in your Hub headlines. Let's get back to the latest, whatever we have for the latest here, from the players, their negotiations with the owners in the NFL right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.